An information theoretic limit to data amplification. Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Malcolm Dix. In the early 2000s, as the Large Hadron Collider was being planned, one of the biggest engineering bottlenecks wasn't building the accelerator. It was simulating what would happen when it turned on. Reportedly, full Monte Carlo simulations of the particle collisions were so computationally expensive that they consumed half the available CPU time at the facility. And that was before the real data even started flowing. Since then, the physics community has turned to generative models, especially GANs, to produce synthetic events instead. Unlike Monte Carlo methods, which simulate every physical interaction from first principles, a trained GAN can skip the physics and sample directly from the learned distribution, generating events in milliseconds instead of minutes. But that kind of use case raises a question. How many synthetic events can you generate before the outputs stop being faithful to the original distribution? This generation of synthetic samples beyond the original training set, the act of producing more data than you started with, is called amplification. So the underlying question is, can you really amplify a data set by a factor of, let's say, 100 without compromising its integrity? Is there any limit to amplification, or can it be done forever? In this paper, the authors attempt to answer that definitively. They put a hard information theoretic bound on that exact problem so that we as practitioners can know when amplification is still preserving the statistical structure of the original data and when we might be pushing things too far. On today's episode, we'll start by laying out the motivation behind data amplification. What is it for? Why do we use it? And how does it work? Then we'll walk through the author's core contribution, a provable bound on just how much synthetic data you can generate from a fixed training set without degrading the statistical integrity of the distribution. Let's jump in. Let's say one of your coworkers trained a GAN on just 500 samples, and then used that GAN to generate 5 billion new ones. What would you say? Intuitively, that might seem to you like a silly thing for them to do. After all, there was such little data to train the GAN that it's almost like the generated data is being created from nowhere. But what's the line? What would be an appropriate amount of synthetic samples to generate from an original sample of 500? 10? 100? 10,000? A million? Where are those numbers coming from? Your gut? A blog post? Or maybe you're thinking back to stats class, and you're trying to remember how big of a population you can make a statistically significant claim about after only sampling 500 people. Well, now you're getting closer, but there needs to be a better way. Doing this in your head isn't exactly replicable. We need what's called a bound, which is exactly what it sounds like. A hard limit, a line, a threshold that we can stay under to make sure we're following best practices. That's what the authors are trying to create here, a bound on how much synthetic data you can generate from a fixed training set before the statistical quality starts to break down. Their bound is derived using information theory, specifically something called Shannon entropy, applied to histograms of continuous variables. We'll get into the details in a moment, but the key takeaway is this. There is a hard, quantifiable ceiling on amplification, and it depends only on how many events you start with and how many you generate. The authors introduced a parameter called MEF, short for effective M. It reflects the trade-off between sample size and histogram resolution. Assume you have N training events, and you generate GN synthetic events using a data amplification method. The authors define MEF as 2 times the log of the number of generated events, divided by the log of the number of training events. That's it. It's a pure function of the counts with no dependency on the specific algorithm used. And it sets the amplification limit. As long as MEF stays below or equal to 3, the distribution fidelity of the generated data is statistically consistent with the original. Go beyond that, and you start distorting the underlying PDF, the probability density function, in ways that can't be corrected by simply adding more points. This is a surprisingly strong result. It implies that under the right conditions, you can amplify data by a gain of up to roughly n to the power of 1/2 before hitting the wall. But it also makes clear that the resolution of your amplified data is not going to improve beyond what the training set allows. That resolution is fixed. What amplification gives you is not sharper measurements, but better statistical significance, more events drawn from the same grainy foundation. In practical terms, if you start with 1,000 training examples, say, the theoretical upper bound on generated events before quality degradation begins is about 50,000, at least according to this theory. Not because the model can't memorize more structure, but because the original data didn't contain enough information to justify finer distinctions. The bin width required to preserve distribution shape has a hard floor, and that floor is set by the entropy of the training set. So the amplification bound is not a heuristic, it's not empirical, it's a mathematically derived constraint on how far you can push generation without violating the informational structure of your original dataset. And critically, it's independent of dimensionality, model architecture, or application domain. If your generator produces outputs with MEF greater than 3, it is by definition exceeding the statistical resolution that the training data can support. That makes it untrustworthy for scientific inference and possibly dangerous if you use it to augment real-world datasets without qualification. But how do they arrive at these conclusions? Where'd they start from, logically, and what path did they walk to get here? Let's retrace their steps. The core insight of this paper hinges on a reinterpretation of entropy, not in the thermodynamic sense, but in the information theoretic sense, as originally formalized by Claude Shannon, the American mathematician and electrical engineer who's considered the father of information theory. Specifically, the authors use Shannon entropy, the canonical measure of uncertainty in a probability distribution, to quantify the amount of information captured in a dataset, and from there, derive a limit on how much that dataset can be amplified without introducing bias or distortion. The setup begins with a histogram. For continuous variables, entropy is not directly well-defined. Differential entropy can be negative, is not invariant to scaling, and behaves poorly under transformation. To sidestep that, the authors discretize continuous data by binning it, then compute Shannon entropy over the resulting histogram. But here's the nuance. The choice of bin width turns out to be critical. Too narrow, and you get excess noise from sparsely populated bins. Too wide, and you smooth over meaningful structure in the underlying distribution. To manage this trade-off, the authors introduce a parameter m, which governs the scaling relationship between the number of events n and the number of bins. For a uniform distribution, m equals 2. For well-behaved unimodal distributions like normal or Moyle, m tends to fall between 2 and 3. This window between overbinning and underbinning is what they refer to as the Goldilocks zone. As a quick reminder, M and MEF are not the same. MEF stands for effective M, meaning the implied scaling factor based on how much data set has been amplified, specifically how many generated events exist relative to the original training set, and whether that amplification still preserves the structure of the underlying distribution. Anyway, the entropy of a histogram can be approximated as proportional to log N divided by M. That entropy estimate becomes the basis for comparing the two datasets, the original training set and the amplified set generated by a model like a GAN. If both datasets share the same bin width and reconstruct the same underlying PDF, then they should have the same Shannon entropy. But the only way for that to be true, as the others show, is if the gain G and the size of the original training set N obey a specific relationship that caps how much amplification is possible before entropy begins to diverge. In practical terms, this means that amplification is not free. Increasing the number of generated samples does not increase the effective resolution of the distribution. The smallest distinguishable detail, the granularity at which the PDF can be reliably reconstructed, is determined entirely by the number of training samples. That resolution is fixed at the point of training and does not improve, no matter how many synthetic events are generated downstream. This leads directly to the formal amplification bound we talked about earlier. But even without that, the implication is clear. Information in a dataset is not just about sample count. It is bounded by how much structure can be extracted per unit of data. And that bound is governed by entropy and bin resolution. Any method that seeks to amplify data must operate within those constraints, or risk generating output that may appear statistically rich, but is actually informationally poor. But how do they test this theory, and how do they prove it was correct? What were the results of their experiments? For all of that and more, you're going to want to dive into the full paper. If you're working with synthetic data, especially in simulation-heavy fields like physics, finance, or drug discovery, you'll want to understand the implications of the MEF bound. The full article includes the derivation of the amplification limit, details on how to estimate entropy from real datasets, and a walkthrough of how the bound performs on both simple and difficult distributions. It also includes practical diagnostics that you can apply to your own generators. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.